The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in the parched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Amen. I have another story to tell you about my adventures this summer in Colorado. With temperatures soaring close to 100 degrees, the wildfires were running rampant in the area. A thin layer of smoke created a haze that hung in the air in an otherwise gorgeous sunny day. We were about to embark upon a hike that would take us from an elevation from 6,800 to 8,600 feet. And our guide carefully instructed us that everyone who takes this hike should be in good health and stay properly hydrated. About a quarter of the way up, one of my friends who struggled with heights turned back. And when we reached the summit, I took the last sips of my first bottle of water, knowing that I could titrate the rest of my water from my second bottle on the way down. And as I reached in my pack on the downward climb, I realized that I drank that bottle of water on the way to the mountain. My two other companions were also out of water. Now, since the trail was well marked, our guide had left us at the summit to leisurely enjoy our trip back. And when one of my travel companions started to suffer from symptoms of dehydration, we stopped at the next available shade to make a plan. It wasn't long before many of the sojourners that had gone with us were passing us by. And one person, one kind soul, stopped and said, "Are you all okay?" And when we told him what was going on, he gave us his last bottle of water. Between the three of us, we each shared the bottle to get us back from our journey. With a half a mile left, our companion who had turned back in the beginning was coming towards us, and she had serendipitously stopped at the camp store and bought three bottles of Gatorade. Now, I have read that by the time that you actually feel thirst, you're well on your way to being dehydrated. We were completely parched, and through the kindness of others, we were refreshed. It was a humbling example of our human frailty, and also a teachable moment about the importance of sharing our resources with others. Later, in reflection on that day, I wondered, do we really recognize when we're getting parched in our lives? How often do we stop and notice the needs of other people that are making the journey with us? Would I give away my last bottle of water? Our first lesson today from Isaiah, scholars believe, was written in three parts, three different time periods. The book of Isaiah has many chapters. First, the original Israelites, and then to the people who were in exile. And the third part of Isaiah, which our passage today is taken from, was after they had returned from the exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem. The excitement of the homecoming had worn off. The promises of a new kingdom that was not yet realized was causing them to feel discouraged. And there was quarreling among them. Times were hard. Resources were few. So far removed from the history of God's deliverance of the Israelites, the hard work of rebuilding just seemed overwhelming. and they were without hope. So the prophet came to them to remind them of God's faithfulness, to recall how God provided for them in the wilderness, and to inspire devotion in them that would bear witness in their actions. So he confronted their empty worship practices of sacrifice and prayer that didn't culminate in the actual care for the people around them. His words reframed their fasting and worship as their grateful response to God's faithfulness and presence, a God who would equip them to go out into the world and serve. Likewise, today, we are challenged to consider if our worship and prayer culminates in the care for others. Do we humble ourselves here at the altar and then not notice the needs of those around us? These are the words that must convict us today. Is not this the fast I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring your homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your kin? A few days ago, I was at Shrinemont at the Clergy and Lay Staff Conference and had the opportunity to go to a wonderful workshop about truly becoming a neighborhood church. And the leader asked a very compelling question that frankly made my gut clench when I considered my answer. She said, "If your church doors close tomorrow, would it make a difference in your neighborhood?" I had to think really hard about the actual tangible ways that we serve our neighbors around us. The workshop leader showed us a hilarious video about big butts. Now, stay with me here. The clip described the butts in church life that keep us from reaching out beyond our four walls. But we don't want to impose. But there's not enough time. But it's not in the budget. We don't have enough volunteers. But we've never done it that way. These big butts keep us from sharing our well-watered garden with those who may very well be parched. We come each week to this table to be fed and nourished so that we can go out into the world and share God's resources, because God's resources will always be enough, even when we give our last bottle of water. We must examine our identity as a parish and our purpose in this place and time, in this neighborhood. How might we better share our resources with those around us? If the church focuses on its own survival and not on its mission, like the Israelites, our worship becomes empty. And we will become irrelevant to those around us. Now, you've probably read all that stuff that says that the institutional church is in decline. And I wonder if it's because the church's priorities have changed. We have so much good news to share with those who need good news. This week, our verb of the week is share. The true measure of our spiritual maturity is not how much we pray or read the Bible, or for that matter, how much we come to church. It is about the attitude of our hearts and whether or not the Spirit flows through us to share with a world that is so often discouraged. God's compassion can only work through our hands and feet. And we are called to share God's love in tangible ways. Now, many of you can remember times in the history of this parish where we have felt parched and discouraged. And the prophet speaks to us today with both a challenge and a promise. We are challenged to look beyond our fears and our hesitations, to notice those in need, and to share what we have. And we are promised that God's light will shine through us, and we too will be healed. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. I pray that God helps to inspire us to remember our parched places and how God has refreshed us, and inspire us to be the kind souls that stop and notice and give our last bottle of water and everything we have. No ifs, ands, or buts. Amen.